Are you milking me for information, old MacDonald? I'm not in the mood.
It's brilliant.
Thank you. It felt really good.
It was fantastic.
Hey, guys.
Hey, did you hear about Callum's dad? He has a production company, and they're thinking of doing a live-action old MacDonald for kids. And he thinks I have a quality.
She's just kind of running through the whole barnyard here, you know, trying to find the right animal.
Oh, okay.
How about your pig? You got a pig in the repertoire?
Best little piggy's going to market.
Find some of the physicality.
Oh, actually...
Okay, now do it again, but think like a pig.
Okay.
This little piggy's going to market.
Incredible.
TBTM.
I wrote Dracula's Pajama Party to help me deal with the pain and fear I had. I gained weight from the cake they served. I still have a party favor. Everything I wrote about in Dracula's Pajama Party, I experienced.
I feel a void at the center of my being.
What kind of void?
Well, an empty void.
Empty void?
Yes, I felt a full void about a month ago, but it was just something I ate.
You can come to us with 16 quarters, 8 dimes, and 4 nickels. We can give you a $5 bill. We can give you 5 singles. Or 2 singles, 8 quarters, and 10 dimes. You'd be amazed at the variety of options you have.
The man is running this place just like a big, giant man putting his big hand around my neck, and he's just saying, don't do what you want!
You clearly don't understand the employer-employee relationship.
I guess I'm starting to, and I don't like it.
Heavy is the head that eats the crayons. I'm gonna take a nap. See you in 10 hours.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday afternoon edition of TBTL. This right here, this is the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
But that doesn't stop a foamer.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
You paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
How dare you? I medicate it with a special generic medicine that's slowly turning me into a lady. Like you do. Of course, this broadcast is originating from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill. In Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City.
That dog is barking. That is not my dog.
Rudy the pod dog is asleep out there in the living room where my wife is.
That's my wife.
My wife is in the living room. She's not asleep in the living room. That'd be kind of weird at this hour of the day. Although we do come to you in the early morning hours of a Tuesday. More on that coming up in a moment. The Bay Kitty.
There is something about the soul of a cat.
The Bay Kitty either stayed out all night partying or got up early and went out to do some partying, but we haven't seen her yet this morning, but we assume that she'll tramp back through our life in a matter of moments. Episode 2376 in the Collector series is promising to be a fascinating one, and I tell you that from the bottom of my heart.
Let the fun begin.
Because we are going to talk about the toy sensation that is sweeping the nation. I speak, of course, of fidget spinners.
Apparently, you're spinning around, and apparently every time you get dizzy.
That's all you do, is spin a fidget spinner. Do you know about these things? After hearing us talk about it on the show, I promise you, if you haven't seen them before, you will start noticing them everywhere. We'll tell you what's going on with fidget spinners. Speaking of gadgets, my light phone arrived yesterday. This is this little tiny kind of phone device that doesn't do any kind of text or anything else that I'm going to start trying to use to be a little less phone obsessed. I can report on that. And also, speaking of, I guess you could call it a device, a piece of machinery. My wife got me a birthday present that I am so excited about, but there is a 100% chance that it will lead to serious and grievous injury for me. So we may get into that, plus your emails and your V-mails, time permitting. We've got to hustle through things, though, because my co-host, the longest-running co-host of the program, in fact, is due to appear on the airwaves of Cairo Radio with the Ron and Don show this afternoon.
Yeah, I heard about that thing on the AM radio.
He's going to give them all four. And so we've got to do this here on a, as I already said, just, I mean, the most... I think the most beautiful spring morning that we have had thus far in the Pacific Northwest. It's like the birds are singing. You can smell the trees growing and the grass blooming. By the way, if your grass is blooming, you've got a real problem. You need to talk to somebody down at Home Depot about that. Anyway, let's introduce Andrew Walsh to the show, the Hodor of podcasting. He bought a mulcher, but it doesn't mean he thinks he's better than anyone else. known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, and their splendor. Hello, my dude.
Hello, Luke. I'm glad you're playing that beautiful, beautiful music.
Isn't this
there.
Nice?
Yeah, because that frees me up to play my morning zoo effects. They go together beautifully, like, don't they? It's like they were
peanut butter and jelly.
That's like, right.
Like blooms on a blade of grass.
Like peanut butter and motor oil. That's how
I just realized something today. I don't know if this is just a temporary reprieve, and of course I've probably jinxed the holy heck out of it, but for some reason I don't have allergies this season.
Interesting.
What's up with that?
I'm dealing with something over here. I don't know what it is. I got a little cough coming on. I got my nose is a little bit plugged up, and I am hoping it is allergies. We will see. I think a good test will be when we head to St. Paul next week. If it stays with me, then it's probably inside me. If it goes away, then it's coming from outside the house.
I mean, that's true of so many things in life, including Alien. So if it stays with you in St. Paul, it's growing inside you, and we're going to have to lock you in some kind of chamber and just let it work its way out.
God, that's a new anxiety. We're going to help Amy at the fundraiser at NPR next week. It didn't, of all the ways I could screw that up, it didn't occur to me that I could be in the middle of like pitch producing and then suddenly an alien pops out of my belly.
You could be transporting it from Seattle to St. Paul. But the other thing is, you know, they have pollen in St. Paul. So you could go to St. Paul. You could still feel, nighttime sniffling, sneezy, achy head, fever, coughing so you can rest medicine. That would be NyQuil, I believe. You could still be feeling the effects of the allergies, and that might not mean that you're sick. It might just mean that you're responding to the pollen over there. Again, I know that probably tomorrow I'll wake up and my every airway will be congested because of this jinx I just put on it. But oddly enough, I haven't had any kind of strong allergic reaction so far this year. And allergies have been something that have bedeviled me the last, 5-10 years. So I'm personally, Andrew, and can we make this about me for a minute? Mm-hmm. I am personally greatly relieved over that.
That's good. I will say, dude, one quick thing about the pollen thing. I was getting hit by allergies really hard about a month ago, and then you and I went to Arizona, and you're absolutely right. The Midwest is going to have a lot of pollen too, but Arizona, very dry, famously arid. I don't know if you ever read that. Famously,
that's why it's called Aridzona.
That's exactly why it's called Aridzona. And boy, that was amazing. I was struggling with allergies for a couple of weeks, and then
it knocked it out.
It took about 24 hours. I remember my first night there, I still had a little bit of it, but the next day I was like a new man. I was funnier, I was better looking, and I didn't sneeze as much.
We all noticed it. Well, the good news is we will be embarking on a road trip on June the 5th from Everett, Washington to Austin, Texas, and much of that will take us through the desert Southwest, including Albuquerque, which you can now spell,
I think,
without spell check.
Very,
very.
It's
proud
the
of you.
U that I that that's what it, yeah. It's not Albert.
The second
it's,
U.
It's A L
Albuquerque.
A L B U Q U E R Q U E.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do it.
I think that was it. Probably. I mean, can you spell? Can you spell numbnut?
Yeah, numbnut could be spelled in like so many different ways.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Please don't tempt me to play that entire like 45 seconds after the spelling, because I will, because I love it. We have a lot to get to today, so this is not the time for me to get us off track, but I did just realize that we're actually going to friggin' Minnesota next week, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We gotta talk about that.
I think it's gonna be a mildly surreal experience for our listeners in the state of Minnesota, because my voice, and I assume your voice at some point when I drag you in there, is going to be all over the NPR pledge drive. Like, if you're driving around Minnesota on like Thursday and you turn on your public radio, during All Things Considered, you're going to hear me and whoever else begging for money, and then you're going to be running around coordinating it all. You're going to be the boss of me.
We have a clipboard and a whiteboard. I mean, a clipboard and a whiteboard. And no, they don't cancel each other out.
How about a white clipboard? Carry that around.
I like to keep them separately. I like to. I used to say this all the time because I was never on the mic in New Hampshire, but I was always kind of in there with the pitchers producing the fund drives. And I always said, those who can pitch, those who can't, write on whiteboards and tell people to connect with the audience better. That was a little dig on myself.
Well, now, But let's get to that for a quick moment. So this was set up by our good friend Amy Wu, who, along with handling all things fundraising related to old TBTL, also does that for Minnesota Public Radio, American Public Media. Mm-hmm. And so she said, hey, would you guys like to come out and have some meetings with our bosses and other folks there and also help out with the pledge drive? We said, sure. And so then it got – but then the division of labor was – me actually doing the pitching, you running around with the clipboard, keeping everybody on task, and producing the living Tweedle out yes. of the cast. Were you in any way offended or annoyed by that? That you were on clipboard duty as opposed to on mic duty?
No, so, oh god, no.
Should we switch off at some point? Can we tag team? Can we go British Bulldogs on
no.
it? Like, I'll do an hour of ATC and then tag out, and then you do an hour of ATC on the mic.
I do think that you should bring that WWE.
Yes.
I guess back then it was WWF. I think you should mm-hmm. bring a lot of those analogies to the air. I'm going to start producing you now. No, my role in this is not to be on the mic. And also, it
are
started.
Are you holding a clipboard?
I'm holding a small notepad.
I only respect your authority when you are holding a clipboard.
Actually, should I bring my clipboard? Because that's what I like to do. I like to hold the clipboard and then tap a pen on it like that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
No, you know, it was actually when we were. God, we go to Arizona a lot, don't we? It was when we were in Arizona for the PRPD, like last year that Amy and I
it's
were
a real hot zip for us.
Yeah, we're having cocktails and we started getting in some real fundraiser talking. Like I just, like I said, I used to do this a lot and I just haven't done it in a long time. And my jobs have been really weird and un-Andrew like for the past, like, well, KCRW was not un-Andrew like, but you know, the Cairo stuff, the mm-hmm. hosting there, this podcast, it's just, it feels like my real Andrew is slipping further and further away. And so I want to bring back real Andrew, and that's the guy with the old clipboard. And yep. So I was talking to her. I'm like, hey, if we could ever arrange it so that I'm in there, I would love to learn under you. Like, Amy is like an Uber, like, in, she's not like a car that you can hire with an app. She's like an Uber producer. She's an Uber fundraiser. I think that's one thing that I don't know if we've stressed that enough to our audience, that Amy's a very important person and you need to respect her. And you need to be nice to her.
Absolutely. Is there an issue with people not being nice to Amy Wu?
Not yet, but I'm just heading it off.
You can always be nicer.
You can always be nicer.
Andrew is very stern.
I got a clipboard. I mean, that's the tone you take when you start clipping pieces of paper to your board. Anyway, so that's how it started. No, I love this. And I don't
think
that...
It's made me spit coffee on my computer.
We got a spit take. It's only 9:30. It's not even 9:30 yet. Great.
We do more spit takes by 9:30 than most people do all day.
But that's mostly just because I have a spit up problem. It has nothing to do with actual humor.
Might be allergies.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. So if you turn on your Minnesota Public Radio on Thursday during All Things Considered, on Friday during the Carrie Miller program, or Saturday during Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, you'll hear Walsh, Walsh, and Burbank, and with Wu, Walsh, mm-hmm. Walsh, Burbank, and Wu on Saturday. Doing some fundraising on Minnesota Public Radio. So that'll be a fun adventure. We are making at least one, if not two, trips to the Nook, Andrew, to the bowling alley under the Nook. That's 100%.
You keep reminding me and I keep forgetting. God, that was because, yes, this wonderful place that is – they're famous for their burgers, but then you and I were enamored by their underground bowling operation. Now, when I say underground, I mean it's totally on the up and up. It's just literally subterranean.
I would love a bowling speakeasy, though.
Yeah,
you show up.
I'll bet
and
you
then
Seattle has one, though. And then
probably.
I
wouldn't like it.
No, I wouldn't like it at all. Hey, man, what's the password? There was this bar I loved in L.A., but at nighttime they considered themselves a speakeasy, and you had to get the password.
Was it the Pirate Bar?
Media? No.
Was it the R Bar?
It was the R Bar. Oh, the R Bar. Yeah. Did we talk?
Yeah.
About
that? That used to be back in the day. That used to be a quote unquote pirate bar. I mean, the day being like 2005, and there was a password which I always found, but half the time they didn't even enforce the password. So then you're like, well, shit. You know, like I don't want to seem lame with the giving of the password. Sometimes the guy would just be like, just come in. But then sometimes they'd be like, what's the password?
That's man. I didn't. You know, I talked about this bar a lot when I was in LA, but maybe I never used it by name because you've never told me that before. I don't know if we knew we were talking about the same bar, but is that why it's called the R Bar? Because now it's just like the letter R. It's not A-R-R-R.
But I think it was originally the R Bar.
Oh, interesting.
And it was sort of piratey themed, and there was a password, And again, I mean, I'm fine with them. I guess I'm fine with them having a password as long as it's consistent. If there's always a password and you always have to have one, okay, I'll just deal with that. But I would show up sometimes and I'd have the password and we'd be with people and I'd be like, yeah, you got to do this password. And the guy would just like open the door and be like, come on in.
Oh.
And then I would be – at that point, I'd kind of gotten excited about the password.
Really? See, I don't like the password situation at all, as you might guess. I stumbled on this bar because it was – across the street from a laundromat I liked. And I
wonder. Oh, really?
Yes, LA has a million laundromats, a lot of laundromat options, but I couldn't recreate my experience here in Seattle, which was finding a laundromat that had a bar or a coffee shop nearby. And the laundromat I used to use, as you know, we did a show about it, had several places where your laundry could be, you know, tumbling away, and you could just go next door or something and have some sort of a beverage and just read a book or something. Couldn't find pardon me, I'm being so emotional thinking about thinking about the laundromat. I couldn't find any place like that in LA. Like all the laundromats were just like next door to just, I don't know, 7-Elevens and car washes and all that LA crap. And I finally found this laundromat across the street from the R Bar. I go in there on an afternoon and they are the nicest. I met, she's probably my favorite bartender. I can't remember her name. She was the nicest bartender. She was so cool and very welcoming. I remember kind of walking in somewhat sheepishly because I guess that's how I walk into establishments with my computer.
Roll up in the club like, ooh, can I be here?
I really did roll up like that.
I don't know why I turned into Jack A from 227.
I remember I had my laptop. I'm like, is it okay? My laundry's like across the street. And they're like, of course. And there's some regulars in there. And they're super nice. And so then I took Vive there. We started to go there somewhat regularly, but we were going when it was the non-cool time to go, you know, like early evening on a Friday or something, every now and then, like an afternoon if we were doing laundry. And then we took some friends there, and they had warned us that it becomes like this speakeasy with a password thing at night. And I just figured nobody's going to take that seriously. We show up. It might have even been our friend Angie, who you know. And we show up late one night, and we're just like, just let us in or whatever. He's like, nope, you got to have the password. Dude. And then we're like looking on. He's like, it's on social media. But then they had the wrong one on Twitter or something. And then then we finally like got in. And then like I hate that shit so much. And then I go outside later for a cigarette. And then he asked me for the password again. I just shot him daggers until he let me in.
Did you not just stub out the cigarette on his face like a real pirate?
I said, do I stutter?
Exactly. You'll walk the plank for this.
So yeah, it was a place. I mean, I loved that place so much, but then I just hate I hate any kind of conceit. Like, I mean, that's where Genevieve would just say I'm a no fun Nick, right? I'm like the enemy of fun. Like, just roll with it, have a good time. It's not that big of a deal. But there was just something about that pretense that just rankled me, man.
Well, speaking of the seedy underworld, what is the story on this criminal trouble you've been getting into?
Oh yeah.
Of late?
I don't even know if we should talk about that. The only reason I suggested it as a topic was because I wasn't sure if we had anything to talk about. We're 20 minutes in the show. Also, I ran into a listener yesterday.
By the way, we haven't had anything to talk about, but we are 20 minutes into the show.
That's true.
Both things can be true.
I think, if anything, this is a story about how two crime cliches actually are true. One is returning to the scene of the crime, and the other is that you need to tell somebody about your crime. Because here's what happened. I have this orange chair. You're familiar with it because I've given you rides in my car over the past couple of months while that orange chair
been in the back of the car.
Just like rolling around back there because it was a nice chair.
You run
chair
one
at
of
one
the
point.
Few furniture moving companies that operates out of a Scion.
Yeah, I do. Hey. This chair just fell off a Scion. So I needed to take it to the dump. It was mostly in okay shape, except the cats just kind of finally unseamed one of the seams on it. They were using it as a scratching post. And it wasn't in good enough condition that you can donate it. I'm a big furniture donator when possible, like when you're moving or something, and that's a good service. But they specifically say they don't want anything that's been kind of scratched up by cats. And while this chair was mostly functional, we didn't want it in our house anymore because it was unseemly. Literally.
Yeah,
literally.
I know.
Hey, great. That's
a lot
good.
Going on. Hold on.
Give me a bell.
Just keep doing that.
There we go. I'll take a rim shot. So I'm like, I got to take it to the dump. So I put it in the back of my
Scion. Can I take it to the dump?
Take it to the dump.
Take it to the dump.
Where's that confounded dump? So,
Oh wow! I was going James Brown. Can I take it to the bridge?
Then I was,
you were going Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, also take it to the bridge.
We're like a friggin' girl talk over here. The way we just mash up. I mean, it's everything from friggin' jazz to Johnny Cash.
It really is. Actually, nothing in between. Turns out it's only jazz or Johnny Cash.
Maybe we should always do the show at 9 a.m. This is the most fun I've had in weeks.
I know.
Also, I am literally melting right now because the sun is shining through the windows. This is not the time of day we typically do the show, and I didn't realize it is broiling hot up here. So
really,
if you hear a thump, that's just I passed out from heat exhaustion because it is all of 67 degrees right now in the Northwest.
Okay, well, if that happens, I'll just do the dazzling donor, and then that'll give you some time to regroup. So anyway, I think can probably tell where the story is going. I've had this chair rolling around, and I keep on meaning to take it to the dump, which is, it's just on the completely other side of town. Not a big deal. I used to go to the dump all the time when I first moved here.
Oh, man. Is there anything better than going to the dump? I mean, seriously, like, I'm going to make a run today. No joke. Like if you have, particularly if you happen to like own your house and you have just crap building up, yard waste things, if you did some demo or took something down and then you just throw it all in the truck and then you the ability at the dump to just throw trash wherever.
Well, not
is
wherever.
So liberating.
It's very prescribed.
Well, okay. Wherever within, how about this? It is, there are rules. But it's still a fairly wide open space you get to throw. There's a giant mountain of busted up furniture. And you can stand there in the bed of the pickup truck just hiking old AOL CDs out behind your back into the pile. And they don't have to go in a specific part of the pile. It's like you just can toss everything out of the truck. And as long as it gets near the pile or on the pile, you're good. That is like one of the most fun experiences to me.
I that sounds like some Bellingham backwoods beauty. Our dump is more of a that's not a,
I know the dump you're talking about. That one is a little hoity-toity. The one in Fremont.
No, I'm going to the one in Soto, which is it's more like driving into a giant warehouse / factory where there are bins for everything. It's not a giant hole in the ground like that. It's more like a transfer station, I think. Anywho, I know that I think it costs you $30 to throw away anything between. Like, if you're not recycling it and you just want to trash something like I would need to for this chair, it would cost me $30. If I had about 20 more chairs, it would still only cost me $30. If I had one small bag of cat hair to throw away, that would cost me $30. It's kind of crazy. But also, throwing away this chair for $30, that's actually fair. I think that's, you know, socially responsible way to do it. So I'm driving around with this chair for months and months, and then finally, I need to say this on record, very much against Genevieve's wishes, I said, hey, listen, we used to live in that apartment building over on Street, right? And behind that apartment building,
Don O'Neill.
I'm getting into the role. I'm getting into it. So, and I know that behind our old apartment, there's kind of this alleyway that a bunch of apartments butt up next to. And not only are there a lot of dumpsters there, it's also a place where people will you have a lot of young people in college or right out of college who are kind of leaving furniture out there that then gets picked up by somebody else. So I'm like, listen, let's just drive through that alleyway. I'll jump out, I'll take the chair, and I'll just set it next to the dumpster. I'm sure somebody will use it, and if not, it can just get thrown into the dumpster. Now, that's what technically the law would call illegal dumping. And Genevieve was against it, and she was a little nervous about it. We pulled in the alleyway, and she even kind of muttered under her breath, well, if we get caught, I guess it's a fine. You don't get arrested. And then I parked under the sign that said, no illegal dumping. Violators will be arrested. And then
Genevieve was like,
now listen. People can make signs that say anything. I don't really even know that this was like a sign put up by the city. This was probably a sign that was put up by one of the apartment owners. I'm not trying to justify this. I mean, right now, everybody's listening just like, Walsh, I can't even listen to this podcast anymore. I thought you were a moral person. I consider myself a moral person. This was definitely maybe in the gray area, but I figured.
But also, there's a chance that one of those kids will see that chair and be like, hot damn, free chair.
That there is a chance. And as a matter of fact, somebody could even just sew up. It was the cat scratching part was not on like any kind of wood or anything. It was actually on a part
that
could be sewed
up. What you are willing to toss out as a as a middle-aged, you know, man who has a certain kind of financial profile and ability to get furniture is very different than what some 21-year-old college student would happily put in their apartment and sit upon so as to have a place to smoke pot.
Absolutely. I would have put this in. I mean, hell, you know, I used in my old college apartment, I used to sit on a bench that I pulled out of my old minivan, yep. my own minivan. Mm-hmm. So I would certainly have taken this at that age. Anyway, maybe that's all justifying it. We left it there. I drove on. It was a real clean operation. I did this on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Veeves and I then went on to spend the rest of our sunny Saturday or Sunday, I guess, hanging out. But in the back of my head, I'm like, I wonder if anybody took that chair yet. I think that chair is still there. And I would feel bad if it was. And so I say, like, let's on the way home, let's drive past. And Genevieve's like, no, you. Oh, why does everybody want to return to the scene of the crime? She's like, what are you doing? This, now I understand the compulsion. I'm like, all right, fine. So we did not
but
drive
this is
past
different.
On Sunday.
Oh, but see, this is different than like something where you like, I don't know, graffitied something or like the.
Oh, no, no. I also sprayed the shit out of the building, tagged it.
You know, the other day when I was walking up to KUOW, I walked through like, I mean, I'll tell you what, the U District in Seattle has some just like out of a movie bad shitty alleys. Like the alleys in the U District, I'll put those up against any alley anywhere in America for just absolute decrepitude.
I'm pretty sure it's where Batman's parents died.
I mean, no joke. It's like, I mean, Seattle's not a very sketchy city, and you know, it's a generally clean, well-kept place. But the alleys of the U District overperform on just
yeah.
just dumpsters full of like unholy old food and rats, and like there's, you know, unfortunately a lot of people who are on the margins who are living back there. I mean, it just feels different than the rest of Seattle. Anyway, somebody had spray painted. Somebody had graffitied the words Jimmy Buffett on a wall, which, as I wrote on Twitter, today an unlikely Venn diagram overlaps.
Right. What are the chances it was actually Jimmy Buffett who spray painted
right?
that?
Of all the things you're going to graffiti in an alley, you're going with the guy who wrote Cheeseburger in Paradise? That is not a thing I would think you would ever – anyway, okay, so right. sorry, so, but anyway. What I was going to say is returning to the scene of this crime is extremely relevant because you want to know if the crime still exists. If the chair is gone, then it is off your conscience.
That's exactly right. So we do not return to the scene of the crime on Sunday, but yesterday, you and I had a weird day yesterday, right? Did we do the show early or something? I think we got done with the show early yesterday. I could be
yes,
wrong
we
about
did.
That. And so I was going to go get my lunch somewhere, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to hop in the car.
Yep.
I'm going to drive all the way back to that neighborhood. This is not my current yeah. neighborhood. I drove all the way back to that neighborhood, and I drove through the alleyway, and it was gone. The chair was gone, which made me feel so great. And I seriously was not going to tell this story on TBTL at all because I'm not proud of it. But get this. So then I'm like, okay, I feel good. I go to my old favorite pho place to get some noodle soup. I just coincidentally...
There's the chair.
Who's serving the soup? The chair. No, I coincidentally run into a listener, Kelly, who listens to TBTL. And she came up to me and said hello. And it was like out of a Russian novel. I was like, hi, I'm Andrew. I'm here because I illegally dumped a chair and it was on my conscience. I mean, I totally...
You just straight up Raskolnikov'd it.
I totally Raskolnikov'd it. Exactly. I mean, and you know, I don't break a lot of laws, but apparently when I do, I am just a textbook character who has to return to the scene of the crime and tell people, strangers, about it.
But my point is, I don't think it was a crime because... Now, here's where it would have been a crime in my mind. If you pulled up to a kind of a green belt somewhere that was like, you know, near houses but was fairly wild and undeveloped and, you know, it was like a dead end, and then you threw the chair down into a ravine
right.
where it would destroy Mother Nature and it would have no chance of living out its days as a chair that people were going to sit on. That's unforgivable. That's terrible in my mind. Putting something that there is a reasonable chance of somebody else wanting, putting that out somewhere, particularly on a dry day, you've got to factor in, is this going to get rained on? Mm-hmm. Because if it's like if it's terrible weather and you put something that's like fabric out for free, you might as well just throw it down a ravine because nobody wants it after it's been rained on for 2 or 3 days. So there are a lot of elements to this, a lot of nuance to this whole operation. But if you put a reasonably okay piece of furniture out in a dry place in an area where you know there are people who will possibly use it, that to me does not feel like dumping.
Then I guess all's well that ends well, because I did not get arrested. It looks like somebody used the chair. Genevieve said, you know, what if they come like just in the middle of the night? We think we got away with it. And then in the middle of the night, they come knocking at the door. And I said, kiddo, in the middle of the night, they don't knock. They just bust that door down, my friend.
You wake up and there's just like, at the foot of the bed is the chair covered in blood.
It's one arm of the chair.
Yeah, exactly. We should thank our dazzling donor of the day. This is a person who donated to last year's TV Telethon. That donation is a big part of how we were able to do the show. All of the donations from all of the listeners each and every time it's about once a year, we come to listeners and just remind them that that's how this whole thing works. And we want to thank Candy Schroeder today. Candy says, last name pronounced like the other famous Schroeders, Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons and Schroeder from The Peanuts. Candy, you know, you donated a lot of money, so I don't want to put you on blast right here at the beginning of us honoring you, but I don't know if it's The Peanuts.
Wow, this went south quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, half a sentence in.
You're right. I didn't even notice that. But yeah, The Peanuts. I like it, though.
I do actually kind of like it. I think it's more fun to call it The Peanuts.
The Peanuts
game. I'm going to assume that a listener, Candy Schroeder, is calling it The Peanuts in kind of a fun, jaunty way. Now, here's the thing. We asked Andrew, we offered is the better way to put it, to the people that dazzled us with a donation at the level that Candy Schroeder did. We said, hey, you know, send us any kind of info about you or a little message about your business or a recording, and we will play it, read it, whatevs. And so Candy did take us up on that, but it was a lot of things. And I think maybe what we should do is, do you have a timer?
I got a timer. What do we want to put on the clock here?
Have we gotten a timer yet on this show? Because I know that we've talked about it for years. We've been saving up for a timer. I'm like a minute. Does a minute seem
that okay? Sounds good. Now my timer right now is set to 38 seconds, and I can't change that. So we may have to restart the timer.
It'd be basically 1 8/10.
Okay.
Play it 1 8/10 time.
Okay, are you ready, though? I don't want to waste any of these precious.
So
precious
these are some dazzling deets on our dazzling donor, Candy Schroeder, okay. Like Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons. Okay. Candy Schroeder has a dog named Stewie, who is 12 and a half. She refers to him fairly often as the Stewbot, thanks to TBTL. Mm-hmm. He is the best dog in the world, and I will fight anyone who says differently.
Whoa.
Candy says. Thing number one. Thing number two, Candy says, I had a pet goat for several months when I was a child. It's interesting because I grew up in the city of Chicago. This was the 1980s.
That's interesting anyway. It's only more
Chicago
interesting.
Sounds like it sounds like it was an interesting place when you could just have a pet goat. As a child, so I guess we know we're 38 seconds in. Also as a child, Candy says, I was hit by a Chinese star and it became stuck in my leg.
Oh my God, that's such that's the biggest 80s story ever.
I always call it a ninja star, but you know what? It was called a Chinese throwing star, and ninja refers to Japan. I think I've been messing that up my whole life. I shall forever refer to it back as a Chinese throwing star, which listener Candy had embedded in her leg at one point. That sounds horrific, by the way. Candy says, I started listening to TBTL because of a feature on The Gist. While I still listen to The Gist, I don't do so regularly, nor do I donate to them. So if Luke and Andrew are in any sort of competition with Mike Pesca, they win, at least as far as I am concerned.
Nice.
Take that, Pesca. That's what you get for doing us a favor and featuring our show on your very popular podcast, The Gist.
And we do an end zone dance around you.
That's right. Exactly. Probably the most relevant to Luke's interest, Candy says, I have a degree in anthropology where I focused on physical anthropology, thinking I would do forensics when I grew up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll get down with a good forensics investigation of any kind, including the case of the chair. Who left it behind the dumpster, and why did they do it? And then did they go have pho after that? We traced them to the pho place. Candy says, I thought I was going to do forensics, but I was conveniently overlooking that walking through the meat aisle at the grocery store made me feel ill. Now that's going to make me feel ill. So thanks, Candy. That's a vivid visual.
Yeah.
And lastly, but not leastly, Candy Schroeder, Dazzling Donor of the Day, says, I love the show, the Stens, and the absolutely wonderful community that you all have built. So there you go. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 6 dazzling deets on Dazzling Donor Candy Schroeder.
We didn't get to them all, but I do want to just add one small little thing. Timer be damned. She did mention that she went to our last live show, which was in Chicago, and she said she met some fabulous people there, and it's nice to find a group of people that to feel such an affinity with. Luke, can I transition out of the Dazzling Donor message?
Yes.
And remind people that we have another event coming up where you can hang out with your kind. And when I say your kind, of course, I'm talking about the tens of listeners. We're going to be in Austin, Texas at Stubbs yes. Barbecue, their indoor venue on the 10th of June. That's Saturday, June 10th in the evening. And you and I are already having some conversations about what we're going to be doing that evening. And it's looking pretty fun. So I would recommend everybody.
It's looking pretty fun and it's looking pretty full. Like, we just got the report back on the ticket sales. And I would say that we have, and I, by the way, I didn't know what the capacity of the place was, Andrew, mm-hmm. but I emailed with our contacts at Stubbs, and I think we've sold like 80% of the tickets.
Yeah.
So if you are going to come, you should probably get your tickets because I think it's very likely that's going to sell out, and we would be so sad if you wanted to come to the show and you couldn't because of lack of availability. So again, tbtl.net. And click on the link there at the top and get yourself all set up. And then we'll see you in Austin. It's going to be really fun. Andrew and I are going to look a fright when we show up.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think about what my jogging schedule is going to be, Andrew, because we're going to be sleeping in this RV in the friggin' desert. And then we're also going to need to basically hit the road ASAP each morning.
I know.
Which means if I want to get a jog in, I have to then get up an hour earlier than you. Like, we have to decide on a getting up time, and then I have to decide on an hour earlier than that, and then I have to do that, and then hope they better have a shower at the RV park.
Yes. And of course, I mean, I feel like we keep going back and forth about what our 10 simple rules for showering in the RV are going to be. Like, are we not going to be showering at all?
I forgot. We have a shower.
Yeah, we have a shower. So
Well, that's exactly what I'm going to
do. When we're hooked up, when we have the full hookup at some of these RV places, that should just drain directly out. So that should not be a problem.
And the shower water is the least of our grossness.
Can we still? What? Are we still like
What's
no
the
waste?
Point of,
no, 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 no. I'm all for showers, no, yeah. but for, yeah. for the number ones and number twos, mm-hmm. I'm still happy just kind of like stopping at a McDonald's or whatever we need to do
yes.
as if it were a regular car.
I'm good with that too. Like, I would say that that's just in case of emergency. The use of the facilities for number two and for number one being guys, I think as long as we're being discreet about it, that's something that could also be, that's an issue that can be settled out of doors if need be.
Right. I did. I'm getting a lot of advice from listeners, by the way, and I've got this little list of things to bring that I wouldn't have thought of, like a bungee style clothesline we talked about the other day. One person mentioned bring some extra hoses. I don't know if we're going to need that or not. We can talk to the RV people.
You know what? But they also hoses said, in different area codes.
Rubber gloves, they said, because at some point you are going to be needing to do these hookups and drainings, and even if you're not peeing and pooping, you're going to want some rubber gloves to put on. So I'm keeping this list of things I would have never
nice.
Thought of, but isn't that a good piece of advice? We're going to be happy we have those rubber gloves.
Yes, that is sage advice. I'm just thinking through. I mean, whatever. We need to get on with the show. It's like there are so many logistical things that are. When I start to think about this road trip, that go through my mind as far as like the stuff we need to bring. I'm also thinking maybe for my workout, I could just do T25 in the kind of kitchen area while you're driving. You know,
could do that.
So your body is aboard, nobody moves until Sean T tells them to kind of stuff.
Oh, and by the way, thank you to all the listeners who are sending in video compilations of trucks getting smashed because they're going under bridges that are too low. I'm not kidding. Somebody sent a montage, one particular, it's 10 minutes of trucks and trailers and RVs getting their tops lopped off. It's a 10-minute montage, all caused by the same bridge. I don't know where it was. And I just sat there. It's actually pretty mesmerizing, but it's also shot my blood pressure up by like 200%.
Would you say it's trucks and more trucks?
I would say that. I'm going to say that on the radio today.
What if like the first words out of my mouth when we get on stage in Austin is the bone sent us?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, you know what else I watched? Somebody else, a friend of mine, sent a video of Marfa, Texas, to get us in the mood for Marfa. I have a new fear, which is I'm never getting you out of Marfa. Like, I almost sent you this video yesterday, and I realized, you know, don't send it to him. Like, it's got everything from a real cowboy with an eye patch sitting in the bar he owns, just having a shot and a beer, talking about why the town's special, juxtaposed against the artists who live there who are making incredible art, and then also the people who are traveling through. It is seriously, I mean, we've talked about this place, and people have been talking about it for a while, but this 6-minute video, I realized, oh my gosh, this is heaven.
I'm very excited about visiting Marfa, Texas. Again, June 10th, Austin. Hopefully we'll see all of y'all there. And Candy Schroeder, thanks for dazzling us with your donation. This episode, 2,376 in a collector series, is thanks to you.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, our top story today has to do with fidget spinners, which are the like little sort of toy of the moment. If you have not seen a fidget spinner, I'll try to describe it to you. It's like a how do you describe it, Andrew? It's kind of like a little ball bearing circle. Which has some little sort of metal spikes, like in a cross. Not spikes, that makes it sound dangerous. It's a little piece of metal that you can spin, and it's an almost frictionless situation. So you can spin it, and the metal part will spin way longer than you think it should because of the way that the like ball bearing mechanism in the middle is kind of lubricated. It is very weirdly satisfying to spin this thing, although I haven't done it myself, but I have seen videos of people spinning it. And I've also seen people walking around Bellingham doing this now. It used to be a kid's thing. I think it has even expanded into adult life.
It's very odd. This is embarrassing to admit as somebody who works on a quasi-pop culture product, but I know that these things have been gaining buzz for a while now, but I swear, if I was seeing them in my, you know, timeline feeds or whatever, somehow they just didn't look like anything to me. They were total. I feel like I woke up yesterday, read the word fidget spinner for the very first time, and then yesterday was just filled with all of these references that were all around me that I hadn't been seeing. There were fidget spinners in the sky, but I never saw them fidgeting till where there was this New York Times article I read about it.
Yeah. The fidget spinners are, a lot of them are actually, like the companies that sell them are selling out. Amazon has sold out of them, repeatedly. There's a wait to get them. My friend Wynn's wife had to go down to a Canal Street in New York because they just wanted to see what all the hype was about, and you couldn't get them anywhere in New York City as of a month or two ago, had to go down to Canal Street and buy like a knockoff fidget spinner.
Is that like where people sell like knockoff watches and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, really? Exactly.
I love picturing somebody open up their trench coat, have a bunch of fidget spinners hanging in there.
There's also now some knockoffs, including something called the Fidget Cube, which has raised $6 million on Kickstarter. I don't even understand how the Fidget Cube actually works.
I'm looking that one up, yeah.
It's apparently, there's millions of dollars behind it now. There are all kinds of hacks and tricks that you can do with your fidget spinner. It's like kind of becoming a little bit like, remember,
with the Capital.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to inject Jennifer Garner into your life talking about the Capital One Venture Credit.
I hope it was the one where it was her dad. I called up Capital One and said, can I get the Jennifer Garner card? No, you didn't. No, you did not.
Ha! The fidget spinners are now kind of like, remember for a minute, those little skateboards that you'd like do with your fingers?
No. Kids? No, I don't think so, but that's cute. Oh, I like that.
This was a thing. Yeah, there for like a quick minute, there was like kind of a culture of doing skateboard tricks with your hand, with a little tiny skateboard. And, you know, like anything, if you give kids something and they're bored enough at school, they'll turn it into like a little competition, mm-hmm. like pencil fighting was when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And fidget spinners seem to be kind of moving into that space now. There are professional fidgeters.
Oh,
I'm going to play this video, Andrew. I doubt it will actually be very illuminating because I have not previewed it. But let's just
Guess who's back? The fidget spinner is back by popular demand. If you don't know what a fidget spinner is, you can tap the link in the description to watch my last video where I unbox one. But for everybody else, let's get into it. So I've seen a few videos of people attempting some fidget spinner tricks, but they're treating it like a joke. They're treating it like fidget spinning is not a real sport.
By the way, this guy is spinning one of these on his finger the whole time he's talking, and this video has 3.8 million views, just to put it in context. This is somebody who's posting under the name Geek Byte. Here, let's go.
They're treating it like it's not a lifestyle. Fidget spinning is a lifestyle, and I'll embrace the lifestyle until this trend finishes. So I decided it's...
By the way, to this guy's credit, as you can tell, he's joking,
right?
Thank God. I didn't know that because I didn't preview the video. I was ready to burn YouTube down, but now I know.
Time to knuckle down and get serious as a pro fidgeter. So I've been practicing all night, and I'm here with some new tricks that'll blow your mind. Let's begin. I call this one the hot potato. Hot.
He's passing the fidget spinner between his hands.
I hear some intro tape in this.
The no-looker. The surprised blind man. Dinner's served.
I got to tell you something, Andrew. Honestly, there's something extremely gratifying about watching one of these fidget spinners.
I know.
And it has to do, like I already said, with the fact that it's an almost frictionless scenario, and so that thing spins for like way longer than you expected.
Yes.
Why is that so satisfying?
And as somebody who I don't know if you were, you know, if you monkeyed around with any ball bearings when you were, you know, sorting your
what happened to you at Cub Scout camp?
Well, what happened to me at Walsh Manufacturing is more the question because, you know, when you're putting away like pipe fittings, didn't you? You used to have to put away pipe fittings and bolts like me too, right?
Yes. Sure.
I don't know if you ever came in contact with a random like ball bearing that somebody threw into one of those boxes, but those things were always fun. Like, this is such a good idea. These things were always fun to fidget with. There's something about the soul of a ball bearing. There's something about the lubrication on a ball bearing that just makes it just seem like something out of this world.
Everything you just said sounds dirty, and I know it's not.
I know. No, I am talking about sex.
Yes.
Would you like fries with that? Nose spinner. The table spinner.
That is crazy, by the way. If you get a good one of these dang fidget spinners and you spin it on a table, it will be there for a long time. By the way, these are also supposedly, and I don't know what the science is behind this, but these are supposedly the fidget spinner, and I think the fidget cube too, are supposed to be something that if you have like if you happen to have ADHD or something, or you have a difficult time kind of focusing when you're in like a classroom environment or even like a business meeting, the idea is that it's supposed to actually help you because you can – it is a certain amount of activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're spinning this thing. But it's not so much that you're – it's like it's basically like kind of – it's distracting your brain just enough that you can stay sitting in the classroom or stay sitting in the business meeting. That is the pitch that I've seen from some people.
Yeah, and I was just happened to be talking about this with Barbara when she was on the other day when you were out. And sorry, I really enjoyed having just a, you know, such a giving, generous co-host. No, but I don't know what we were talking about, but it came up that this idea that, like, I if I'm in a meeting, I'm probably doodling, and if I'm not doodling, my brain is probably more likely to wander. But if I'm actually doodling, it looks like I'm not paying attention, but I'm actually probably paying a little bit more attention. It pacifies part of your brain and frees up the rest of your brain to pay attention. I was a huge doodler in college.
So yeah, these are, I mean, to some degree, these are being pitched as a way for kids, I guess, and adults to sort of stay in the moment of a kind of otherwise boring experience because they can just do one thing that kind of distracts their brain a little bit. Although you told me this, Andrew, I didn't actually see this myself, but that there's a person now who claims, I mean, I would say this is unsurprising because this has turned into some kind of cottage industry, but like there's somebody who claims they invented the fidget spinner years ago.
Yeah, this article in the New York Times is actually kind of weird. It's just a timeline. And it's funny, they jump in. The article's by Alex Williams. I'm saying that because I'm going to read directly from this, if you don't mind. I think it's interesting. Mm-hmm. It just begins, one horrible summer in 1993, unable to play with her daughters, Sarah, then 7, because of her autoimmune disorder that causes muscle weakness, a Florida inventor named Catherine Hettinger invents a prototype of a fidget spinner as a way to bond with her daughter, she recently told The Guardian. Then 4 years later, 1997, visions of Rubik's Cubes, koosh balls, and pet rocks presumably dancing in her head. Miss Hettinger goes to Washington to secure a patent for the toy. I'll fast forward here a little bit. It secures a patent, finally gets like Hasbro or somebody to sign on to distribute these things, but then the patent expires at just the wrong time. She has some small company manufacturing, I don't know, hundreds, maybe a few thousand of these things, but it all came too early for this craze, and now everybody else is making these, presumably making a lot of money off of these, and she says that she was making them way back in the day and is not really seeing any money from this.
They have been apparently banned at a number of schools in different states. Apparently Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Illinois have banned the toys, claiming that they're too distracting. By the way, this is the New York Post version of this same story. Of this woman who invented it, and they throw another thing in the mix, which is that she says she got the idea for the toy when she saw young boys throwing rocks at police officers in Israel.
How does that play into it?
She said she wanted to find a way to distract young kids and give them something soothing to release pent up energy. I'm just reading directly from the New York Post right now. I don't know if this is some really bunk journalism, but it's funny that the New York Times and the New York Post seem to have different origin myths for this.
Yeah.
I guess it could be that she had that thought and then she developed the toy, then took it in to Hasbro. But also, isn't the New York Times version that she invented it because she was ill and this was a way for her to pass the time?
Yeah, but they credit The Guardian for that story, and that's apparently from an interview she gave with The Guardian. So maybe she's telling different stories. Maybe they're not mutually exclusive, but I love the idea that like peace in the Middle East can come through a fidget spinner.
That's
like,
literally what she says. She said, it started as a way of promoting peace, and then I went on to find something that was very calming, she said.
Sounds like somebody's looking for headlines. What do you think?
But also, I mean, okay, so like, obviously we don't really know the veracity of her story. But let me just say, for the sake of argument or conversation, if let's just say that she really did have the idea for these things in the 80s, she really did get a patent for it, she really did pitch it to Hasbro, can you imagine how life-ruining it would be to have had this specific idea to have let the patent lapse and then to see it become like the hottest toy in America. By the way, they don't retail for much. I mean, you can buy them for like a buck or something. But excuse me, you sell millions of them, it's still millions of bucks. Like to have this specific idea and then to see it take off when you no longer had any claim on it, that would be really, that would make me crazy.
That actually sounds like a plot of an 80s movie, doesn't it? Like something with Eddie Murphy, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm getting that vibe, but almost like a, like kind of, like somebody invents this thing, but then it blows up around them and they don't get credit. And so the rest of the movie is they're like kind of chasing that.
Getting it back.
Yeah.
Somehow Dan Aykroyd has stolen the patent.
Yes, exactly.
Now I'm just kind of citing the movie Trading Spaces.
Trading Places.
Trading Places, excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had that same exact vibe. We need those old men. We need those old rich guys. That's the
They're both still alive.
Are they really?
I think Eddie Murphy's looking better than Dan Aykroyd these days, but no, they're both very much alive.
No, I was talking about the old men in the movie.
They're all dead, thank God.
There's no way they're alive. Yeah.
Okay, we don't have time today, but tomorrow, Andrew, because I'm addicted to that Segway game. Speaking of ball bearings, we should talk about my skateboard that I'm going to attempt to ride as soon as I've had it put together at the skateboard shop in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City, because I'm so excited about it, and I also am definitely going to hurt myself. You said you've got a story from your life about this, actually.
Sort of. Let's just put it this way. I got a lot of questions and a lot of opinions, so buckle up for that tomorrow, Lucas.
We'll get into that tomorrow.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week I hope that it's from a female. Oh man, it's not from a female.
All right, we have a couple of long emails. Where do you want to start on this one, Walshke?
Let's see. How are we?
We have 10 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start with this voicemail, actually,
okay.
Because I think this is a pretty on-point question from a listener named Steven.
Hi, guys. This is Steven in Lawrence, Kansas. There's been a lot of Lord of the Rings talk recently, and I have a question. The way Luke has described his parents' specific type of Christian beliefs, it kind of surprises me that they would like or allow something with magic and wizards. So my question is, was there ever any conflict there, or am I totally off base? Thanks, guys.
That's a good question.
It's a great
that's
question.
That's like a gist level voicemail right there.
Yeah. Well, good. We should send it to Mike Pesca and then insinuate our way onto the show and then steal more of his listeners to donate to TBTL.
And then mock him.
That's an extremely good question. And first of all, let me just say Rock Chalk Jayhawk. So here's the thing, and this is part of why, if I can just get real for 9 minutes, 8 minutes and 35 seconds. This is part of why the way that I was raised was a bit confusing, because at certain times, magic and like certainly anything that was seen as witchcraft was very much frowned upon. Like, I wasn't allowed to dress up for Halloween, because it was often associated with like magic and witch stuff. And we were very afraid, you know, of the occult as kids. And I was taught in our church that the occult was a very real thing to be very, very concerned about. But then there were the things that I think my dad just liked, mm-hmm. like Star Wars. Star Wars was totally cool in our house for some reason, even though it's the Force and it's like magic and stuff. And Loader was okay. Although there wasn't – at the time when I was growing up, the only like Lord of the Rings-ish thing in cinema was that cartoon of The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's Ralph Bakshi is the animator. So we used to watch that. And I'm not I'm not exactly sure why that was okay. Now, here's the thing. C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I mean, C.S. Lewis was famously a very Christian person. So we also consumed a very steady diet of C.S. Lewis when I was a kid. But the Tolkien part of it, I don't fully get. Like, I don't have a good answer for why that was okay. Because, I mean, it's just full of magic. And it's not – unlike Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, who's clearly a stand-in for Jesus. I mean, he is literally gives his life on the stone table for these kids who have screwed up. Unlike that, I don't think Loder operates along those lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, my knowledge is limited just to battle trolls. So mm-hmm. I want to put that out there.
So you don't think that Gandalf was supposed to be Jesus?
Gandalf's my name. Spoiling's my game.
I believe it's Gandalf the Great, by the way.
Yes. this is an unsatisfying answer to a very good question. And in fact, you know what? My mom and dad are coming over tonight to hang out. My dad has a sign he has to put up in like around here somewhere. And so they're going to come over.
No dumping or you'll be arrested.
Exactly. He just makes signs. It's a hobby. He doesn't even get paid for it. He just makes signs establishing various laws and regs, and he puts them up mm-hmm. in places. My parents are coming over tonight, and we're going to hang out. And maybe if I remember, I'll ask my dad what the scoop is on that. Like, why was that okay, and other things were not okay? What his thought was on that? Nowadays, they're not. My parents are very much less hung up on stuff like that. Like, you know, they have cable and they watch regular TV mostly. And although there's a major prohibition on things that are fresh in my parents' mm-hmm. house to this day. Like, my parents will watch something where it just has potentially horrendous violence in it. But if anyone tries to touch anyone's boob, game over. That's fresh. Shut it down.
How do they feel about this guy?
Notice me, senpai. Notice me.
Big fan. I do want to say it makes sense to me, though, that transition that you talk about between C.S. Lewis and then the Lord of the Rings. I grew up in a very Catholic house. Very... very, very Catholic and religious, but, you know, it's very different than your upbringing. There was mm-hmm. less kind of fear of black magic or anything. It mm-hmm. just wasn't really part of the conversation. Halloween was fine. We didn't really take part in a lot of Halloween stuff, but, you know, dressed up for the school parties and stuff like that. Yet, you know, growing up, before you kind of realize how Christian and the C.S. Lewis stuff is and how it's all kind of a parable, you grow up as a kid reading the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, and it does kind of mix those elements of magic and wonder. And then as you get older, people will say to you, well, if you liked the C.S. Lewis, you're going to like the Lord mm-hmm. of the Rings. Like, I feel like that is a natural transition from one to the other. But you're right. One is so specifically rooted in a Christian parable, and the other one is just battle trolls all the way down.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. That's probably what happened, is that the C.S. Lewis stuff was an entree into – and I want to say that – and again, I apologize to people that know about this, including members of my immediate family who might be listening. I think if I remember right, there was Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. I think that they were either friendly or they wrote letters to each other, or there was some overlap yeah. there as well. Whenever I guess at this stuff, I get myself in trouble. I know that – so famously there was this – well, I don't think that's related. C.S. Lewis wrote this book called The Screwtape Letters that a lot of people in the Christianity I grew up in are very into. But I don't know if that was actually – I think those are like letters that a demon is writing or something. I was going to say, I think there was some correspondence between C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, and that may have also been like a bridge. Like, well, if they coo, then – it coo for us to read all the Loder books.
There's a headline in Christianity Today about a book called J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, A Legendary Friendship.
So well, there you go.
I read a headline. That's the end of my research.
It's more than I expected.
Case closed.
At 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. All right. We should pick a song. I got a, I've got a humdinger of a show title.
Oh, good. Because all I wrote was just a moment ago, I was like, oh, shit, we don't have a show title. So I wrote Battle Trolls All the Way Down. Do you have a better one?
Well, it's something you said. A Bellingham Backwoods Beauty.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Although it does, yeah, out of context, it does have it. Whatever, it makes me slightly.
Well, the people have to listen to the show,
right? Yeah.
Are you worried? I think it's okay.
I think it's
a Bellingham Backwoods Beauty.
I think that's fine.
Could mean so many things, and in this case, it just means the town dump.
Right, exactly.
Which I think is technically a Ferndale Backwood Beauty. Let's not get bogged down in that.
All right. Well, what about music? Is there any Tolkien related? We went out with music from a soundtrack yesterday. That was sweet, by the way. That
I was kind of jamming out to that song. I said it like at first. I was like, "It's so bad, it's kind of good." And then that song went on for like 4 or 5 minutes,
yeah.
And I was like. I kind of was like, I can kind of get into this. But I started to really enjoy it unironically.
But then it ends on a fade out. Like, I don't understand how you have like 8.5 minutes of noodling guitar and keyboard. And then it's like, we don't have a power out for this thing. Like, it's this big epic song. And then it's just kind of like, let's just fade out in the middle of this solo. You should watch the video for that, by the way. It is... I don't have words. Everybody just look up the video for... I posted it in the...
Is it as you thought, him post-coital motorcycling?
It is interspersed, the video is, with some shots from the movie, but it's also got just the guitarist and the keyboardist just tearing it up. And it's just really... It's a lot of hair. It's a lot of shiny pants. And it's a lot of energy. A lot of high fives.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good, man. I've got a song, too, if that's
good.
All right.
Please. I can play it from my end.
We've been talking about spinners. We've been talking about spinners. I've got it here. This might be kind of hard to find.
You okay? All right.
It's... I got time for this. It's from a... I was in a real... Like, in college, I got really into a whole Japanese pop phase. Mm-hmm. I got into some Shonen Knife and some Pizzicato 5 and some Chibomato and all that good stuff. And this is a song, because we talked about spinners today. It's called World is Spinning at 45 RPM. It's from Pizzicato 5 off of the album Happy End of the World. It's a little – this is just totally self-indulgent. I don't know if the listeners will like it, but this just takes me back so hard to – 1998 or something. So
yeah, I like the Pizzicato 5. I never got into them super hardcore, but there was a I don't know, like when I was living in New Hampshire, I remember somebody left a CD in my barn or something like that. So I don't know if I know this particular song, but I definitely like their vibe.
Cool. Well, here, take a listen to this. It's Pizzicato 5 on TBTL. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. I'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. Check out Andrew, Ron, and Donning today and all week.
Why wouldn't you?
And why wouldn't you? Until we meet again, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.